wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 431, recorded live on December 23rd, 2015. I'm your host, Ed Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks
and Taz 427.
Steven's ad from an item is with us in spirit and the chat room, just saying.
Is he in the chat
room? Yes, he is. You can join our chat room with Steven's ad infinitum if you want, and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Yes, I did do the major taboo. I actually started talking about Doctor Who with Scott Burks.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. We automatically start getting into it. And good episodes. Like I said, Scott hasn't seen the last four, and quite frankly, out of the whole season, the last five episodes were probably the best.
Well, I saw the fifth. Like, I know I got four left right now.
Right, and they're gonna blow your mind. It's awesome. So anyways, good stuff. Let's see, Star Wars is the one. No, I have not seen it. No spoilers, or I will blast you where the sun doesn't shine.
Let's put it this way. I already have episode 7 on my laptop.
Really?
Don't ask me how.
I'm sure it's in completely legitimate ways.
And I may or may not have it. I'm not admitting to anything. So I watched it a bunch of times since I saw it in the theater. I saw it, you know, I don't know if you guys saw it. Taz, I know, went and saw it. Me and Jesse took our kids, our older kids, I should say. Shane, my youngest, didn't go to the 10:15 show.
Oh, yeah.
The night before opening. So, the line was insane.
Oh, that's the way it was. That's how it used to be.
I know, a Star Wars fan, I know that, but like, I was not expecting what I saw. You know, like, my son was just in awe because he's never seen that.
How much in costume?
Yeah.
About one third.
About a third? That's good. That is good.
Yeah. So he was amazed by just like the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
He's never seen that for a movie before, ever. Yeah. You know, he has no concept of a line as long as the block to go see a movie. And so the people at the front of the line have been there since 2 p.m. And then we got there an hour before the movie, and like, we were the way back.
That's what my brothers and I used to do. We literally were the ones that were there 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure that you were in line for the matinee or whatever the first opening was.
So I didn't want to get stuck
in the front row then?
No, I was not. I was actually near the back. We actually got a really good seats. Yeah, we saw a 3D IMAX, which was freaking mind blowing, as you can imagine. Yeah.
Yes.
So I had to get it. So I may or may not have gotten the movie and watched it a couple of times, two or three times.
My daughter ended up going through and texting me after it was done, and all I got was, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, do not send me a spoiler. I do not. And she's sitting there tee-heeing. You know, nothing more intimidating than somebody tee-heeing you in a text. And it's like, don't you dare, because I'm going this weekend. And it's like,
it was really, really good. I mean, it was a really good. I mean, even Jesse, who's not a Star Wars fan in any way, shape, or form.
Yes,
like that was a really good movie.
Yeah. And you know, they didn't
make any of the major mistakes of the past, like the re-releases. The first one was way too much character development, so they didn't do a lot of character development. Your intuition kind of knew what the character's background is, at least if you're a Star Wars fan. Although a lot of places poo-pooed on that out there on the internet. If you gone, and
they're going to have their own
critical reviews, and I read through the critical reviews, and I'm like, yeah, it's you got a time.
Do you
limit.
Realize
you
when
give
the...
it what it is? It didn't have the annoying ass character in there. Yeah, that's
me.
You know, that's
I think
one.
So.
Yeah, I mean, right. Everything just worked. Really, yeah. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, but I mean, everything just worked.
Yeah.
It did. I'm not understanding the people who are hating on this movie and the internet. I don't understand.
People are so spoiled, and the reason is, and I'll tell you this, and Scott can verify this too.
That's what it is.
When
the sites want hits, so they're going to be critical.
Well, the main thing too, remember when the first Star Wars came out, half the theaters took the idea of the scripts and threw it in the trash can saying, who needs this piece of garbage? Mm-hmm. We were going through a recession in the 70s. We needed a hero. And when Luke Skywalker and Han Solo came onto the scene, the country as a whole, we were in a recession. We were gas sharing. I mean, you know, everybody was having all these hardships. We needed something to spruce it and get us going. And once we realized that how good this was as a hero, that's why Star Wars is so special to the people that saw it in the original.
Yeah,
nowadays, they're spoiled. It's like, oh, my God. You know, the movie comes out two days later. It's like, well, they did the weekend. It's over. Star Wars went on for months.
Oh, no, Star Wars went on for years. That movie was in the movie theater for a year.
Yes.
A whole year it was in the theater for. And I was 6 years old when I saw that movie. Six.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember many things I did when I was 6 years old. Honestly, I don't. I have very few memories. One of them is going to see that movie.
Yes.
That's I was 6 years old when my love affair began with that movie. And it's been a lifelong love affair with Star Wars.
Yep.
But it's like, I remember going to see it. I remember coming home. I remember going to it. I remember everything about the movie. At
I remember
6 years
standing
old.
In line. I was 6 years old as well. Yeah. I remember standing in line.
Mm-hmm.
That movie blew my mind. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
The movie blew my mind.
Well, just to put some perspective in, I was driving my car for the first time going to that movie. So,
you know, I love that movie so much. Before, you know, Taz is my achievement member. Before the figures came out, the first original 12, the original 21 figures, they came out the later that – even they came out the next year. Like
Christmas.
That. Bring up the next year.
Right,
no,
yeah.
the Christmas day. I love that movie so much.
I have some lunchboxes and stuff for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I actually made, like, paper dolls of the Star Wars figures. I played with those, not even knowing that figures were coming. But that's how much I love this movie.
Yep.
That I literally had to create toys to play that movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's how much I loved it.
Yeah, and then they came out with every – my brothers were the ones with that one and then the sequels. That's where they had all the toys. I mean,
I mean,
you name the figures, the full size Millennium Falcon, the AT-AT, the whole shot. I was doing the things like collecting the pewter mint figures, the big ones, and going that way. But oh God, I wanted to be Luke Skywalker so bad, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's you know, I always say I'm very biased. You know, George Lucas could take a video of himself taking a dump, and I would love it. So I'm very biased about Star Wars.
But that was the era.
Yeah, but there's nothing Star Wars I haven't liked. I even like the prequels. I've liked everything that has to do with it.
Oh,
it's just an amazing world. It's an amazing world that he created.
Yes.
You know, it's a great world. And so I'm very, very biased on it, but it was a great movie. I mean, I was not disappointed at all. Like the prequels, I liked them, but I was disappointed. You know, I was not disappointed.
The preconceptions, because I think, and this is like the old the Jack Benny stuff on radio. When Jack Benny went from radio to television, people were extremely disappointed because all the things that they had envisioned in their own minds.
Yeah, sure.
When they was in radio, your imagination does so much. Same thing with the prequels. You know, we had all our expectations. I mean, think about it. Star Wars was one of the first real movie pictures. And yes, this is going to be a whole show on this. I can see this already. Star Wars was one of those things where that was the first time in a long time for a movie where you actually had a cliffhanger. Where you actually had one movie tied to the next. Nowadays, it's like, what do you? All movies come out in threes, right? No, back then you had a movie. If it was absolutely gangbusters, you may get the second movie, but this was the first one where they purposely led you from one movie to the next with the promise of all the other ones as well. The books, the merchandising. I mean, come on, Spaceballs. I'm just saying.
Right. They're coming out with a sequel to Spaceballs.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. So anyway, so back to geocaching.
Okay, let's get past that because we can do a whole
show. So I've been sick the past couple of days.
Yes.
Horribly sick. So I have no geocaching to speak of other than going to the Festivus event on Friday night for Chicago, which we find out who Ed Rooney was, by the way.
Oh, really?
I remember our local reviewer, he was coming out and all that thing.
Yeah.
We found out who it was. Such a letdown. I mean, I don't mean to rip on. It was anybody ever heard of.
Like, is he like still living in the basement with his mom and dad, that kind of thing?
What does he know? Who, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a known cacher. So it was like, oh, hi, Ed. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you, what? You know, it wasn't one of those moments. It was like shaking his hand going, hi, you know, like, hi.
Right, you know, way too much about my personal life.
You know, like, yeah, like. Yeah, so we found out that, but then I got really sick after that, and I woke up.
This has been a weird year. My doctor said the same thing. She saw already, in just the past month or so, she's seen 6 cases of people with walking pneumonia, including myself.
Yeah. I thought I had it. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I had it.
It's like, wow.
But just upper respiratory infection and a ear infection is what I was diagnosed with, so they got me on medication.
Ear infection.
It's making me kind of loopy. Yeah, it's making me loopy.
Yeah. Daz, how about yourself, man? How you been doing?
I've been doing get a cache. Actually, it's one that's kind of bugging me. It's the closest puzzle cache to my house, and I solved a number of months. Went to the location, DNF'd it, because there were like 5 different great places to hide it there, and
Speaking of Battlestar Galactica,
crevices and holes, and then he comes know, back I confirm with, the owner coordinates, and
hey Chad,
where it was. Chad, ago.
Chad, do me a favor, say this for me, by your command. You're
by your command.
Totally,
it's perfect. You're Battlestar Galactic on us.
You sound like a Cylon, incredibly like a Cylon, like the old 70s Battlestar Galactica Cylon.
Oh, that was funny.
That was genius.
Yeah, that was just perfect. All right, well that's good. You totally broke up. We'll write down in the notes. Cool stuff.
So did you find it?
Did you get that? I was going to say, did you get the cash?
Yes. Okay. Third time was a charm.
All right. Good stuff. Okay, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week with GeoGearheads. You know, I'm really starting to feel a little, you know, let out on things because, just saying, episode 208, live streaming 1, and I think they're just making the numbers up now. I'm just saying. let's see. Mr. Scott Burks.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Gopher from the Love Boat is going to be heading to the next podcast out. Well, maybe I should have said Isaac. Doc, whatever.
Yeah,
Julie?
Daryl's driving out here tomorrow night. We're going to be in my house.
Oh, really?
Recording his show. Yeah, he's doing geocaching day.
Oh, that's
going to
be awesome.
He's sleeping over tomorrow night.
That's great.
I'd be on the show whether I was a host or not. I'd be on the show. I figure he did that just so I wouldn't be in the background making faces. He'd rather just put me on the show. It's easier.
That's funny. So anyways, Scott Burks, Mark from the OB Geocaching Podcast, Chris and Daryl, we've been sitting down and doing a conversation about live streaming and geocaching. So that's good stuff. And let's see, also tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, we are going to have a GeoSnippets quiz rehash show, which is basically saying we've already recorded the show earlier in the week, and we will be doing one of the earlier quizzes. So that should be interesting. Yeah, because we're actually on like quiz 6 or 7 now. So we're going to do a rehash show. So going back and showing one of the past quizzes for you fine folks while we go out and chow down on eggnog and Christmas goose or what have you. Just saying.
And guys, once again, guys, don't forget Geocaching Day on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Follow me at Scott Bergs and Daryl at DarylW4 on Periscope. And you can see us geocaching all day long.
They'll be doing dual periscoping. That should be cool.
Dual periscoping, yeah. Ivan Zoo, too. I see it. E-Y-E-S-E-E-I-T. That's all. No, I'm sorry. His I see it's Clipper Guy. That's I see it. He'll be in the car, too. So
awesome.
He may be periscoping as well. So
yeah,
it's going to be a fun day.
I'm going to be watching.
Mid-40s, man. It's going to be a gorgeous day. No rain. It's going to be a beautiful day for geocaching.
Well, that's going to be...
We got 160 tagged, so we'll see how many we get to.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot. And save some egg rolls for me. I'm just saying.
Starting around 6:20, 6:30. First cache.
Awesome. Good
stuff.
Takes
an hour to get to from where we are. We got to get to take us 50 minutes to get there.
That'll be good. See, that's where you do a lot of the periscoping too. You build everybody up. All right. Let's move on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, are there certain geocache attributes that you avoid when seeking? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that about a third of you don't avoid any particular cache attributes. The main attributes that most cachers do avoid are needs maintenance, front yard caches, tree climbing, boat and scuba required. So here's what we heard. Joe on Google+ shared, not overall, but sometimes we'll exclude certain attributes during a specific trip. Well, James on Facebook shared, no, I go for every cache I can get my hands on. Kim shared, I'll at least take a stab at all of them. Well, Jerry shared, nope, but if the last log says the unforgivable, I hit it better, I pass. Probably wise, Jerry. Well, Barbara shared, I don't go if it says I need a boat. Also think twice about a cache on someone's front yard. And Lori shared, disabilities cause me to look in advance. Wish some cachers would use them. It's so disappointing to get to a cache and see that there is no way I can get to it. Side note, if you claim a T1, it better be handicap accessible. More times than not, I can't get it. Well, Jean shared, I gave up tree climbing for Lent many years ago, and I only go after water caches if somebody has a canoe and wants me to go with them. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about cache attributes, and you can too. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, happy caching, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Lisa. Thank you so much. There were so many good points in that one. You know, for me, it wasn't giving up for Lent for tree climbing. It was more of a coming to Jesus when I got up there.
You're like, oh, honey, call the fire department.
Yeah, get the ladder. I'm just saying.
But she put up, that's a great point. That's a great, the attributes, that's a great lead into.
I think this is perfect.
For tonight, because I agree with her completely, is that not enough people do that. You know, yes. If people avoid that, I do it personally on all my caches. You could look. You don't believe me? Go look at my caches. You'll see attributes for all of them.
Yep.
I'm very much like that because I ask all the time. I ask Jessie if we can't find it. I go, let me hear the attributes. And she goes, there's none. I'm like, no, really? Come on.
Yeah. So speaking of what Scott just said is absolutely correct. We're talking about geo rantings of 2015. And, you know, we got to let off some steam. And actually, we have found that it's actually very therapeutic for Mr. Burks for us to let him off and go crazy for a show every 6 months or so just to keep things going. Because, you know, I don't want him going postal with a Nerf gun. I'm just saying.
Right.
So so that's what we're doing.
Taz rocked it in the show notes.
He did, man. He's got some stuff.
For anybody who doesn't know, Andy always says, hey, guys, this is what the show is about. Why don't you guys add your 2 cents? And it gives us room to make our points. Taz made his points, and I'm like, we're done. Taz is awesome. That's great. I could bitch about all of that.
Yeah. You know? And matter of fact, some of them. Go ahead.
I thought I had nothing. And then I looked at Taz. I'm like, yeah, damn right.
Well, I expected Scott to come out with a second novel and just go that way. And I didn't even have to worry about it. I threw a couple in just because. But, yeah, our favorite guys have a bunch of stuff. And Taz does have a bunch, which came just out of what Lisa was talking about in the infamous putting cash containers back where you got them or not. Go ahead, Taz. I'm going to let you take some of these because these are all your ideas. Yeah, these are good.
Unless, you know, I thought it would be better over here, so I moved it over here. Yeah. Even if you think it should have been hidden there, you know, and you think someone accidentally put it back wrong, at least contact the owner and tell the owner, hey, I think someone may have moved it. I put it back where it was. About the only thing that you should really ever put back where you didn't find it is if you found it, just drop on the ground.
Right? Yeah, literally on the ground.
You know, it fell out of a tree. It has a hook on it. It has a string falling out of the tree.
Right.
Then you go ahead and hide it back and communicate back to the cash laying on the ground. I put it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Absolutely. Matter of fact, I got into almost an argument with Amy one time about that very subject. It was a simple Play-Doh container for the geocache. It was sitting next to a bush and wide open. Now, we had just talked on the show before that about you put it back where you found it. Now, there's nothing wrong with hiding it a little bit better in the area so it's covered up a little more, not quite so obvious. I mean, this was a blue cap, Play-Doh cap on a yellow container, okay? But I'm thinking, you know, the spot like 3 feet over to this probably is where it was supposed to be. And she said, nope, that's not where you found it. And we sat there for 5 or 10 minutes going – and I'm contradicting what I'm telling you fine folks, you know, put it back where you found it and go this way. And I ended up putting it right back where it was and covered it a little better and said, okay, I'll contact the owner and tell him, you know, just in case, see, by the way, this looked a little out of place.
Well, I've seen plenty of owners that and actually
more than once I've had logs. Go ahead.
I've seen plenty of owners that put it in a real crappy spot where it's like, you know, 15 feet away is a gorgeous tree. And you're like, really? Did you not see that tree?
Exactly.
But like ground zero is where it is. You know, the ground zero is perfect.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, it actually is it. But you're like, what? I don't get it.
What were you thinking or not thinking?
I have done that. Putting it at a top of a sapling tree that has to be bent over while there's a perfectly great tree 15 feet away because people go to that tree. Oh, yeah. I made it a harder difficulty. You got to look up. You got to find it up in that tree.
It's a pull down. Pull down.
Yeah, and then 3 years later, it's not so easy to get to.
People also move my cash containers and put it in their log notes, and I'm like, why did you do that? I have to go do maintenance. And I will slap a maintenance log on there and say, so-and-so moved my cash container from where it was. Now I have to put it back.
Well, I'm glad you don't take it personal. That's good. I mean, heaven forbid. No, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I would never move a cash container. I don't know who has the balls to do that. I thought this was a better hide over here. I've seen it too, but like I thought this was a better place. I've seen logs like that. But I'm like, who has the gall to do that? Like, really? You're moving it? That's like I don't like your container, so I put a better container out, kind of a thing. You know, it's like.
And it's not like it's 5 feet over. They move it 40, 50, 60 feet over here because, like you said, this tree is much prettier.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Yeah. The other one with attributes and people not putting the right attributes in. One of the ones I have to say the most that if there's a complaint about not putting an attribute on is poison ivy. And if you don't actually put poison ivy, for me, I'm one of the few people on the planet, I am completely immune to poison ivy. I have no problem.
Lucky. I have a friend like that. You're lucky. Yeah.
Not a problem. But I also know a lot of people that do not know how to identify poison ivy, and English ivy is not the same as poison ivy. So there's been places where I've put places where it's literally English ivy growing up the trees. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And it's an FU ivy hide. And people get pissed off because how can you put this in all this poison ivy? Don't you think? And it's like, it's not poison ivy.
Yeah. So. But then a lot of times in here in Chicago, it depends on the season. You may not. You hide it in the winter, you're not going to see the poison ivy. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
True.
So very, very true.
But, you know, unless you go back to that cache, which how often do you go? I mean, I don't go back to my caches very often until they're, you know, unless they're gone. You know, so it's a matter of seeing it, and you have to see it in the right season.
Sometimes the right season in the right light. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, but like I've seen caches where it wasn't a
field of poison ivy. I hit it out there in the winter, and I had a couple feedbacks like, "You put this in the middle of poison ivy." Yada, yada, yada. Well,
in a field of it.
It was hidden in December. There wasn't any poison ivy then, so I slap on the attribute.
There you go. Good thing. Good thing. Of course, down here we have the thing called kudzu, and that's a plant that ate the south, and it's got huge leaves. And during the winter, you don't see anything of it. By the time you're midsummer, it eats trees. So it's literally that thick. So sometimes you just don't know if you hide in the winter. So you might want to check stuff in the other seasons. Just for that reason.
Well, you know, just a little more, makes the game a little more fun.
More challenging.
Right?
That's it.
Out here, it's apparently a poison oak country. Very little poison ivy, but a lot of poison oak.
Ugh, I get poison ivy on my hands every year. Never fails. Yeah. Finding the stupid
I'm not sure if I'm allergic to poison oak or not. I know I'm 98% of my body is non-reactive to poison ivy. Just gentlemen are, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very active to poison ivy.
If I don't see poison ivy or poison oak, somebody somewhere, the half percent of half percent is like, you know there's poison sumac right there, right? Don't go outside. I'm just saying. If you're allergic to sumac, just stay in. Just don't even bother. Just try it. All right, Chad, you got another good one here, too. And actually, I thought of Scott Burks the second you said this.
Bad coordinates. You know, I'm not talking about coordinates that are 10, 15, 20 feet off, but we're talking 50 feet to miles off.
Well, Scott's so darn good at finding these that are so far off.
Right, and I'm good at that, yeah.
I don't have the Scott Burks record, but you know, I found them more than a month, inverted digits, and it's like, I'll start playing there on a map and satellite view. It's like, sure. Ooh, that would have been a perfect place, and it makes sense with the hint. I'm going to drive over there and check it out.
Wow.
Yeah. But usually if it's that far, it's an accident. Obviously, it's not on purpose. And usually they'll rectify it if you say, like, this is wrong.
Yep.
Chad's looking at me like you're wrong. You're fucking it. Oh, sorry. It's what? But like he's giving me that look like, no.
Okay. There are two things. There is the bad capture because they took us – smartphone and they immediately went single capture.
Yeah, you're supposed to actually stop and settle.
Yes, that's one thing.
Sure, yeah.
That's one thing.
And that's how you get some
carpenters who don't check the maps.
Right. The iPhone is how you get what's called Scott Burks close. That's Scott Burks close, is what that's called here in Chicago. That's you know, 25, 30 feet off. That's what that's called. But when you're getting into the hundreds, that's an accident. That's not on purpose. I mean, that's
totally right. I know it's not on purpose, but it's still a major mistake because they obviously did not take the coordinates that they put into the page and verify those coordinates on Google Maps with satellite view or Google Earth.
Right.
And that's where I have the issue.
And I think it's very, 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 if I can't get this expressed enough, very important for people to understand, you do not make the geocache more difficult by purposely putting the ground zero 80 feet off from what it actually is. That's not fun.
Yeah, that's not fun. It's annoying.
Yes.
We had a cache named Ziggy here in Chicago that used to do that. And it was just like, he's like, well, I want to make it harder. I'm like, that's not making it harder. It's making it more annoying.
Yes.
That's all it's doing.
Make a better camouflage. That makes it harder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good
stuff. A Girl Scout troop hid a cache in and it had gone 3 months without being fined. And eight of us went after an event to go look for it. I think we found it around 500 or so feet off.
Jeez. That's quarter of a mile or a tenth of a mile away. Jeez.
Under the oak. Under the Oak was the name of the cache or something like that. Uh-huh. And we wound up finding it under a platform next to an oak about 500 feet off. We were going for every possible place, and it turned out to be an ammo can. It was a decent high, but the coordinates were just busted. Bad off.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's one thing, you know, you look at the satellite view, hey, where are we at that? There's no platform. What the hell's the deal?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you really, for a lot of people, and I don't think this is taught at all, even in the intro app, you have to let your device that you're doing. Now, obviously, we prefer if you do this with a GPSR unit when you're actually marking it, because there are ways of turning on where it actually runs 50, 60, right. 80, 100 cycles to get your average for your coordinate. You have to let it settle. Put it on the ground. Let it sit there for a while.
There are apps for your smartphone that will do this as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Open up the geocaching app and let it don't just snap a picture. Mm-hmm. Let it sit. Let it get down to 16 feet, even 8 feet. Let it don't do it when it's 400 feet away and then click. You know, let it go down, let it simmer.
Yes. And don't keep walking
GPS while averaging. You're it's not GPS averaging. It's an app.
Yep.
Or
good stuff. Yep. All right. Let's see, Taz. You got another good one here. Throwdown caches. Gee, you don't like those?
Oh no.
Now let's.
I'm notorious for that.
Go ahead and explain what a throwdown cache is, so that way for the people that may or may not understand.
A throwdown cache is when someone can't find the cache and they decide, well, I've looked enough. I deserve credit. Let me take this piece of garbage that I got in the back of my car, the Ziploc baggie. I'll throw a receipt in there, sign my name, throw it down, and claim that as a find, and that's a cache replacement.
Yeah.
Usually throw it down probably within 10 feet of the cache is what usually happens.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times, if depending on the container, the quality, how long it lasts, people will find the throwdown cache and stop finding the regular cache.
Absolutely. That happened to me. That literally, I had a here's a spoiler alert for anybody in Chicago. I had a great cache that was under a lamp skirt, right? But it was called Fry Cook on Venus. It still is. It's still there.
Oh, cool. I like the name.
Thank you. What it is there's this gas station in Niles. It's open 24 hours a day. It's got a subway. It blares music. It literally looks like a spaceport is what it looks like. It's always packed, always crowded. 4 in the morning, it's packed, okay? Lights are blaring, music, subway's open, the huge mart's open. It's such a hard place to, it's a lamp skirt hide at the gas station, okay? But this place is always jumping, so it's really hard to do it. I made it even harder because I put a nano at the top of the of the skirt, you know, not like so it's on the top of the skirt,
right?
So just to be big F you, you know, and I put the terrain a little higher or the difficulty a little higher. But what happened was people kept DNFing and people would find it, you know, two DNFs and a find. Then finally someone threw a freaking through a
35 millimeter,
35 millimeter under there. Yeah. And now everybody finds that. It's I'm sure the nano is still there.
Yeah.
But nobody finds my cache anymore, and like. And then suddenly it's all fines. It was all fines. I'm like, what the hell is going on? How is it all fine? So I drove there one day and I looked. I'm like, somebody put a freaking millimeter thing in my throwdown.
And the killer is just that. If you have a geocache that has a little bit more difficulty to it, people can't find it. They do a throwdown, and that very thing happens. It deflates the entire geocache, as a whole. Mm-hmm. Mm.
It was just annoying because it was a great hide, and you got to be so nonchalant, but it's like such a hard hide. You know what I'm saying? So it was like totally screw you. Like you got to sit there and feel around
figure this stupid thing
in front of all these people.
Yeah, I like the nano in the skirt hide where it goes up inside the pole, and they really put that up, and it's like
I don't like that. You're borderlining on getting electrocuted with that. I don't like that at all.
There's a comment that comes to mind. I'm just going to leave it right there. But anyways.
That bothers me. Yeah.
Yeah. Throwdown caches are an absolute no. Don't do it.
I'd say that the only time it's ever acceptable is on if you're doing a numbers run and you're, you know, you got this, you know, like, and it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a series. You know, it's a series, and they're, you know that it's a pill bottle, you know, right by the stop sign.
Right.
Every mile, there's a pill bottle at the stop sign.
Oh, I gotcha.
And you know that there should be a pill bottle there because you've seen 70 others and you know it's not there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only time I consider it acceptable.
Well, I only count it if I see the rack. Go ahead.
What's that?
I busted a geocacher that, and he had been finding the caches along this series, but this guy has like 65,000 finds a
right.
day, and he did the throwdown on one of them, and I found the throwdown. I was like, why is this 35 millimeter here? And I look on the pole, there's the DNA tube stuck in the pole, just like the other 50 that were behind us. And so I pull up the log, I look at it, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to give his caching name out, but, I went up to him and was like, said,
here's your cash back.
Here's your throwdown cash back.
But that, to me, that's the only time it's acceptable, is that.
For me, if I see the raccoon using part of the geocache to clean its teeth, then I'll put something, but that's about it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, Taz, because you're actually getting into my territory, because I'm sure I'm going to be put on the naughty list from geocaching.com with some of mine. So go ahead and do the last one that you have on there.
Okay. So geocaching.com's no commercialization unless it benefits them attitude. The fact that you can't use a business name within a cache either within a title or say where a specific event is being located because it uses the business and it's a commercialization, yet geocaching.com has absolutely no qualms about doing Geico and
right.
Jeep and various other things that benefits them financially.
Absolutely. I agree. I saw that and I loved it. I'm like, that is absolutely true.
Absolutely, and it's and it's not like it's only happened once or twice. This is a fifth or sixth major company they've done.
Did you see the new movie thing?
Yeah,
the props for the new movie being put in random caches.
Yeah,
for what's his name's movie? The Titanic. What the hell is his name? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
his movie. They're putting but they're trackables. They're not.
We're not saying don't do it. We're saying. Allow it with if you're worried about something where you don't have Sandra's Pleasure Palace as being one of the contributing factors. There's people that have legitimate charities. There are people mm-hmm. that have all sorts of different legitimate organizations that they would benefit.
True.
And it's not like they're going to make them or break them. So, but do one or do the other. Don't do both and just
that was a great one, Taz. I saw that and I'm like, oh, that's done.
Good stuff.
I always put it back to my we had a buddy here who's a cashier in Chicago, and he had cancer, and he tried to do a cancer awareness one, and they denied him, and he's like, you're kidding, right? Like, it's cancer awareness. What, are you kidding? Like, our reviewer's like, I'm sorry, I can't, it's their rules, not mine.
And yet there's that whole one that was out, and I'm diabetic, okay? There was diabetes mm-hmm. awareness was one of the first mm-hmm. travel bugs mm-hmm. I ever found was something like that. So
I remember those. It's blue circle.
Thing, yeah, right? Yeah. So it's like, come on, folks.
Sure.
It's not hurting anybody, and it's, how is
cancer awareness hurting anybody?
Exactly.
How is putting, where the event is, the name of the place, hurting anybody?
Yeah, because people all around the world will suddenly found about Jerry's sub house. I mean, really?
I know. That's. I once said the food's really good here, and Ed made me remove that. I can't say I like the food here. Really? That's that. You have an issue with that? Really? That's what's that saying?
Oh my God!
That's promoting something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I agree with you completely. That's
absolutely.
That's a great one.
Good
That's
one.
A good one.
All right. Yep. My little naughty list thing, a couple of them that I really want to get into is intro app or geocaching app. Make up your frickin' mind.
Right.
If you're going to put.
I'm trying to use it. I'm trying to use the intro app, and I fucking sucks. I hate it.
If you're going to put it. All your efforts into coding of one app or the other, let's do it. But why don't we use the one that people are paying money for and not abandon that? I'm just saying.
Am I getting the $10 back or you might have to pay for the $10 for the intro app?
I'm telling you. I mean, if it's that innovative where it's got the wow factor and holy cow, I can't believe it and I'll be glad to switch over to this, that's one thing. I'm not seeing that.
No. Not at all.
No.
Me and Jesse were just talking tonight about things they need to add that they don't have. And I'm like, they're never going to add it to this stupid intro app. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I heard Mark on Obeep was like praising it. I'm like, how are you praising this piece of garbage?
Yeah.
It's like a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
It's not even like a quarter of as good as the original geocaching app.
Yeah.
You know, not even close to, forget about being close to CGO. It's not even the same freaking ballpark.
Yep.
It's not even the same sport. Forget about the ballpark. Different sports.
Yes.
You know, like it's not even close to that. It's a piece of garbage.
I think it's time for geocaching.com to start truly listening to the geocachers who have experience, not the ones that came in and have 8 finds and said, gee, this needs this. No, sometimes you get a couple, you get lucky. But for the people that have been doing and been faithful to the sport that have been saying, why the heck is this still missing? Or why can't we do that? And go with that and just actually, because they tried earlier in the year, I'll give them credit. They actually tried doing a PR person that lasted about 3 months. And then that disappeared. Well, we did a poll. Yes, keep doing it, but ask the right stuff and don't cut it off so people can only answer the way you're going to want them to.
Right.
Anyways.
Right. Now, I will say this for the app. It is good for the beginning cacher who's going in and really doesn't know a lot about it. But what they really need to do is have an advanced feature set,
you
know, an option to say,
good idea.
Into advanced mode.
Yes.
And then something that's more like a CGO type thing where you have all the tools that you need. Because every time that I've ever tried to use the app, I've been totally frustrated because it doesn't have the capabilities that I'm used to in other apps.
You're driving the Maserati in first gear. And that's it.
It's literally, like, yeah.
And it really, honestly, if geocaching.com is relying on, and this isn't even the people paying the $10, all right? If you're relying on trying to get more people in that, and this average has come out all the time, the average for a huge percentage of new geocachers' total finds is 5 finds. If you are relying on this as your percentage of your mean for your in base, you've already lost.
Yeah, I mean, if they think I'm going to pay $10 again.
People who are buying premium accounts, who are paying for a premium account.
Yes.
And I'm not paying another $10 for that piece of garbage. You know, I'm not. Taz, you had it on the park, dude. Like actually, an advanced feature that puts it more like CGO. I mean, how hard is it to make a map kind of like CGO that has real time mapping? So like as we drive down the street, Jesse can see the cache is loading.
Yes.
Like I have to hit the reload. I mean, seriously, how difficult can that possibly be?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an idea: hire the freaking guy that made CGO.
There's
a genius idea.
He's in Russia, but hey, we'll take it.
Freaking contract him out.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. If you,
that's a genius idea. It's so apparently not that difficult to do. He's tapping into their API.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, that's you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's just seriously, guys.
Not that. I mean, Scott and I are both in this world of development when it comes to apps. And you know what? They're not that expensive, okay? I'm just saying. Developers are, you know, you're not paying billions and millions to do this.
Hire
the contractors, do the job, get it where you want it to be, and make it into a product that people are proud to use. And they will come to you. If you don't, they will not.
No. I mean, people are going to go to apps like CGO. And then they're going to do what happened in the very beginning. They're going to cut off the API, so we're forced to use that stupid, bad app.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, my goal is to – I'm going to use it for half the day on geocaching day. That's my goal because, you know, geocaching day is very quick. So I want to see if I can actually keep up with it.
I'd like to know how that goes.
Yeah, I'm gonna try for half a day. If I can go the whole day, that'd be great. But I got to get used to it, and I'm struggling with it.
Yep.
And I know it's gonna be the norm soon, and so I've gotta force myself to use it.
Yep.
Which is frustrating as hell, but it just sucks.
Yep.
It's nothing I can say. I'm so sorry. I can't see anything nice about it. But
I use
the only thing nice about it. The only reason it is on my phone right now today
messaging
because the messaging app exactly. I get the messages on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Only. On my phone.
Yep. And I use it. I'm not knocking the actual paid app that I've got. I use it all the time. I do use that with CGO because if it doesn't work on one, I usually get it on the other with whatever I'm looking for at the time. So that works out well for me. So I'm not knocking the paid app at all. Pick one. Just pick one.
Well, they have to sooner or later.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. Okay.
My only hope is they roll a crap ton of the stuff that's on the paid app into the free app. Because right now, if they're gonna sell that free app as is and saying this is the new geocaching app, I mean the whole community is gonna be like,
is the other suggestion. And I think this has been brought up in the past, but if not, I'm doing it again. The people that do Project GC, hook in with them.
Oh my God, how are they not in your payroll?
Exactly. If you've got all this data, all this, you've got the data, they know how to get it. Yeah. Wow, put it in an app.
They need to take a lesson from Apple that when they see guys that are really freaking good, they hire them. Yeah,
or
they
hire them.
Yeah, or buy them. Buy them out, hire them. Yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
I'm just saying.
You need to not shun them, appreciate them.
Yes.
And say, hey, we want to work with you. What can we do to work with you? What do we have to do? What do we have to pay you to work with you to get this stuff to the community? Because your stuff's awesome.
Yeah. Embrace the geocaching greatness.
With a caveat. Well, don't buy them out and then shelve them.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
That's what they did with Warrego.
Yeah. Totally different buyout market. Yeah.
Meanwhile, speaking of Warrego, hold on, Taz, really quickly. Have you noticed on my iPhone, I've had two updates to the Warrego app in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't tried it yet. Obviously, I don't go to where it goes after. But it's updated twice in the past 2 weeks. Now, before this, it has not updated in a year and a half. And suddenly I had two Warrego updates. I'm like,
wow.
Really? Really? okay.
Hey, whatever. Yeah, so, if they can get that working, that would make a lot of people happy, too.
Yeah. So that's it. So somebody bitched. Somebody higher up must have bitched about something.
All right, last one on my naughty list, and then I'll go from there. And yes, this is again going at geocaching.com since we've beat on them enough. I made the realization actually when we were doing cache and release, and I brought it up then, and I'll bring it up again. If you really think about it, over the past year, definitely, over, I would say, since we're at the, 15th anniversary?
Of what, geocaching?
Yeah. All right, so for the past 5 years, say 10 years to 15,
mm-hmm.
What major advances at all to the game can you just sit there and say, oh, my God, I'm so glad this is great, and go? Can you think
that's
more
new?
Than – that's new. New advances to the game, to geocaching in of itself in the past 5 years, if not the past year. Nothing.
Nothing. Well,
and the only thing that was new was the challenges which failed, and then lab caches.
Okay, lab caches is probably the only advancement where I went, yes, these are worth it. This is great. But beyond that, even the concept of lab caches is, let's do a skunk works, let's try new things, let's see if it works or not, and then let's put that into the game and move on.
Lab caches don't even count for anything.
I know.
That's throwing shit to the wall and seeing what sticks.
Exactly, but at least that shows something. Yeah. They're not even doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been caching since 2008, and since then, paperless? That's the app.
And that wasn't really them. That was because of us. That's us going through it.
The geocaching app came along. Other than that, nothing. I mean, there's been no icons aside from the lab cache.
Yeah.
I'm the 10-year icon. I mean, but other than that, that wasn't really a game changer.
Souvenirs are not your savior. I'm just saying.
No, souvenirs are just annoying. I wish
it was cute at first. Okay, been there, done that. I want advances. Give me new geocaches. Give me new something.
So you're saying how has the game progressed in the past decade? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's gone to that much.
Taking, aside from taking things away, like locationless and virtual
and what have you, yeah.
No, not much has been gained. Yeah. You know, no.
So that's my biggest.
Look up our hating on our sport we love.
I know it, but that's the thing. You can't, if you don't talk about it, it won't change. And that's the whole point.
Yeah. Well, so. but they're going to come to you, Andy, and say, okay, big shot, tough guy.
I got my list. Bring it, baby. I'm just saying. If I don't, it's like it was either Ford or Edison. One of the two says, if I don't know, there's 100 people I can call that do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't tell me come up with a list and go that way because they're out there. And there are people out there screaming for it.
I'm not saying they should come to me for that list, but I'm saying they should at least talk to maybe like the top 10 finders in the world. Talk to them, maybe. I mean, they know a lot more than I do, you know, about geocaches and finding geocaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Start with them.
I think it's because we love this game that we do complain about it.
And that's why it should be.
We want to see it advance. We want to see it survive.
Yeah, sure.
And if it doesn't advance, it won't survive.
I don't want the next big thing blowing it out of the water.
Right.
That's my biggest fear.
And they're out there, and they keep popping up.
It's coming, baby. I'll tell you what, Pokemon Go is going to sit there, and people are going to – I'm serious. The idea behind Pokemon Go, when this hits the market, and Nintendo just dropped $40 million in Niantic Labs' hands and said, make it the best thing since sliced bread, go.
Right.
It's coming out.
Is it coming out in January, right?
They gave a release date, and this is Niantic Labs' as best they're going to give 2016. That's the release date.
That's the release date?
Yes. So that's how they work.
They really give themselves a wide berth there, don't they?
It's going to go out when it's ready, and I think that's what's going to happen.
December 31st, 2016.
Yep. It's not the game itself that I think is going to destroy stuff like geocaching. It's the concept and the possibilities of once that opens up Pandora's box and people go, can we do this? when it's going to go.
I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think someone's going to blow it out of the water. I think it's going to greatly decrease the members. I mean, I'm always going to love hiking in the woods.
Oh, me too. You can't beat that.
It's always going to happen. Yes. Yeah, no matter what. As long as I have feet and I can walk, if I can walk, I'm going to go search them out in the woods.
Yes.
You know? But the difference is there may not be, you know, 80 million people doing it with me.
Right.
You know, there might only be 8 people doing it with me or whatever the numbers are.
But if it takes innovation and some thought and some action and actually do things, and you know what? Be confident and be happy with the failures for the few successes that you will achieve.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. And I think that's one of the things they're afraid of is, well, what if we got another challenges? At least you tried.
How did that blow?
Tried. And it's stick your neck out a little bit. You're not killing yourself. You're trying something new. Do it.
And I don't think challenges would have blown so bad. The problem is people were so excited because they thought challenge caches were getting an icon.
Yes. And then
and then that's what they gave us. And we're like, what? WTF? What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, well, where's my icon, champ? Where's my icon for challenge caches?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's my biggie, guys. Keep at it. We're not trying to discredit you. We're trying to say, wake up. You know, that my favorite commercial in the world is the company that sits there and has the big banner above the company that says, we're number one. And you hear this rumble and part of the sign flies away and it just says, we're numb. That's what I'm afraid of. Get out there and fix that. Try stuff. We don't care if it fails. We just want to, hell, we're ready to go out and try it. Just do it.
Yep.
So I feel better. I'm just saying. That's a good thing. All right, guys. Good stuff. Good talk. And, we got one more show. I'm going to tell you already, we're going to do our resolutions next week. So we'll get those going.
Resolutions of what?
New Year's.
Oh, okay.
I think goals are all, you know, even though half the time we set our goals and we go, what was that again? I forget. At least we're trying for the people that actually do set goals or want some seeds to ideas for goals. We can come up with some stuff.
Okay.
All right. That's next week for the last show of 2015. All right, guys and gals, we want to say thank you to Chad and Scott. And yes, Corey, you're out there in spirit. Thank you so much for all the things that you do. And I think it's time to move on. Want to say thank you to all you fine folks coming on by and subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcasters. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.